All righty, we have the pleasure of welcoming back Anna Ariamov Kelly, and I'm going to give her a quote and just see how she reacts. Anna, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's always good to be here with you.
Absolutely. So I've put out this tweet. I actually have a t-shirt that says the following quote, and I just want to see how you react. Is it funny? Does it have a ring of truth? Do you think it's stupid? You ready for it?
Yes.
Inflation is a feature, not a bug.
Truth. And ouch. Right?
Interesting.
Yes. I'm in the higher inflation is higher for longer camp. I am. And, you know, we would not have said that before COVID. We wouldn't have. Inflation was generally speaking, the U.S. and the global economy were on a deflationary path. We were producing less and less growth for every dollar of government spending attempting to create production and incomes. That is just the path that the U.S. and the globe has been on historically as populations decline and as fewer and fewer workers are replacing, you know, older workers. So from a demographic standpoint, we've been on kind of a deflationary line for 40 years and just getting lower and lower. But that's also created wage inflation, which we just talked about. And so for prices, starts to become inflationary. But I think post-COVID, all the things that have happened since then and all the things that I think are going to happen that I know are going to happen because I'm watching how this is playing out are very inflationary over the long term. So I'll stop there and let's play with it.
Yeah, because again, and the reason this is important to understand, it is supposed to sting, because if you appreciate it and understand it, you can act accordingly. Like,
yes.
Again, if you think inflation's a bug that will just be magically worked out and go away, you don't have to plan or act for it. But if you realize inflation is a feature, it's part of the system, you act different.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely,
you know, it is so important. Like in here's another twist. Let's see if I go two for two on the same kind of guys. So I take that concept of inflation's a feature, not a bug. And I really want to kind of drill it in. I want to make it hurt. So here you go. Here's number two. The rich use inflation. The poor get used by inflation.
We're seeing that more and more, Michael. We are. Inflation is a tax on the poor, and it's a tax on the middle class.
Let's be clear. I think inflation's a tax on everyone.
It is, but proportionately, it hurts less for those who can have extra money at the end of the month to invest in things that go up when inflation goes up. You know, so that's the bottom line is why do the rich get richer and the poor get poorer? Is because as inflation hurts those who are already living check to check, and the stats vary, but as of last Thursday, the last time I looked, 66 to 80% of homeowners surveyed say that they now live check to check and have nothing left at the end of the month to save or invest. So that's the vast majority of your population, Michael. So if they're already living check to check, and again, as we talked about in video number one today, wages may be going up, but they haven't gone up as fast as inflation. And so people are struggling more than they were before. And if inflation is a feature and not a bug, and we're in for more inflation into the future, you end up with a society that by and large, close to three quarters of your population is living check to check and probably needs some kind of government help or subsidies just to survive, whether that be, you know, grants, or whether it be, you know, helicopter money, or whether it be subsidies for their housing or their food or whatever it is. When the majority of your population is struggling, it's not good, you know, for the economy overall. Your top 10% or higher that own the vast majority of money have savings, have cash on the sidelines. And so they can say, if we think inflation is coming, what are they going to do? They're going to buy assets that go up when inflation goes up. The stock market actually likes inflation because they can create corporate profits, at least for some time until they can't any longer, right? But if you look at corporate profits over the last several months, they've been crazy, even while they've been 10% plus for a lot of the bigger companies, even while Main Street is struggling. If you look at the price of gold and silver and Bitcoin and even real estate, commercial real estate's kind of an anomaly with cap rates and interest rates right now, but generally speaking, hard assets go up in value when inflation is there. And so those that have the money will continue to invest in hard assets that are going to go up in value over time, and who can generally, if they're cash flowing assets like real estate, why we love, you know, residential real estate in particular, is generally speaking, we can raise rents to hopefully keep up with inflation, at least better than a lot of other things can. So you have assets that go up in value with inflation over time, and you're able to renew your contracts annually to raise the incomes to keep up with inflation.
Yeah. Again, when you really appreciate that inflation's a feature, not a bug, and how the rich use it, I want to be clear, at least in my opinion, once you understand it, there are steps that you can do to get on the property ladder, right? This is basically a real estate channel. Yes. And I mean, let's talk about, again, your best, you said this one time in our episodes years ago, your best financial decision you ever made was selling the big house in Texas, living with family for a little while, and then buying a fourplex in Pennsylvania. You house hacked a fourplex. Getting on that property ladder saved you. House hacking, it just took your expense to zero, allowed you to live better.
Absolutely. It was the best thing we could do. And, you know, you and I've talked about multiple times, you know, anytime you're sold a get rich scheme, it's going to be a scheme and it's not going to pay off. The few get lucky, just random chance, right? But you have the ability still in our country to make your own economy to some extent. You may not like the lemons that you're dealt, but you can squeeze lemons and make lemonade, right? You can make the best of whatever the situation is and say, in every changing economy, what's the best next thing that I could do to just do a little bit better than I'm already doing today? And for me, our expenses were high. We wanted to create more income. And so we knew we've got to take a step back and live below our means, so we have enough at the end of the month to invest in things that are going to create more income and that are going to go up in value. And I was just looking back yesterday, you know, I update my PFS pretty much at least every quarter, sometimes every month. And just pinched myself, Michael, that, you know, I went from a negative 700,000 net worth to an 8-figure net worth in a decade. Now, it was a long, hard decade, right? A little more than a decade to get to that level. But it was hard. We had to make significant sacrifices. So I could have said, I have $700,000 in debt during the GFC. I'm just going to give up. I'm going to work two jobs. I'm going to foreclose on my mortgage or whatever it is. You know, I wasn't going to give up. I was going to say, what can I do to just make my month a little bit better? So I cut expenses. I house hacked and I started investing every extra penny that those investments made us. Every penny of income that we made on our rental properties, Michael, as we were buying one rental at a time, we put back into the savings account to get just enough to be a down payment on the next property. Yeah. We didn't live on almost any of it for that entire 10-year period. I took out a little bit to pay for my kids to go to private school, but everything else, I just kept reinvesting in the future. So you're not going to change today by an earth-shattering amount, but you can start taking the actions that get you used to, what's one thing I can do today to make a little more cash flow, to grow my net worth? And it might be a small property. You know, I bought single family homes. I bought 5 single family homes. I bought a bunch of 4-unit properties. I bought at auctions. They all needed a ton of work. I didn't know how to fix them up. You know, my husband and I had to learn to buy these things. He did the labor. So I have to, you know, give him all the credit for figuring that part out while I just figured out the financing and tenant part. But it's daily actions to, this is the thing that if I could only give one piece of advice that anyone ever remembered, it's your entire wealth building lifetime. It's live below your means while you simultaneously work to expand your means. And if you can just remember that and make good daily decisions to live below your means, to have a little extra so you can work to do what the wealthy do and invest in things that are going to create a better future tomorrow than what you have today. It is amazing how quickly, Michael, you can create wealth and you can change your financial picture and your life forever.
Yeah, this is the story that you've shared is very similar to Olivia and I. And it's there are two things that I just want to push the needle on. One is, in the very beginning, we both focused on increasing discretionary income. That was the number I was focused on. So you only could do that three ways: lower expenses, increase income, or both. Again, I want right. people to hear this. For years, I was only focused on discretionary income, because discretionary income became seed capital that when I had enough, I could deploy into the next asset. Yes. Think about that. You could do that today. And then the second thing is, it's a season. Your season and my season were about 10 to 12 years. Mm-hmm. You and I are going to have 40 years, at least, hopefully, of the next season, which is, you know, not sacrificing, not doing these things. So folks, you can do it. Inflation is a feature, not a bug. Don't whine, don't cry, don't complain. Appreciate it, understand it, and act accordingly. And then don't hate the player, hate the game. The rich use inflation, the poor get used by it. It is a fact.
Yeah.
Don't hate Absolutely. The player, hate the game.
And I think, you know, to your point about the future, I think we're in for a long decade of a more decade. Inflation than what we have experienced. You know, beyond that, it's hard to tell. In a short term, it's hard to tell. In a short term, we could have a recession, rates could go down. Great. Take advantage of the opportunity to lock in lots of long-term low rate debt. And then, you know, prepare, because that debt is going to be your friend too. Because yep. when inflation goes up, you've got this low payment that, you know, is being paid off, you know, with pretty cheap money into the future. So
yeah,
you know,
on that front, think about the people that bought a home that have a 2.5, 2.8% mortgage. They borrowed 30-year money below inflation. How beautiful
Absolutely.
Is that?
Which means you're actually making money every month. It's hard, you know, people don't quite get that, but you are. You're beating
yeah,
inflation
you
because
are.
You transfer the inflation risk to the bank instead of to your own checking account that's paying you less than what real inflation is today. But here's Amazing. The great news, right, is when you understand it, to your point, and you know that we have already reached the peak of the economy, we're in a contracting economy, we don't know when the exact bottom is, but once you do hit the bottom, then over time, the government is going to do everything that they can to create more production than inflation, to at least start bringing incomes back up and create the next boom before the next peak. So the blessing of knowing that you're near the bottom, Michael, is to know that you have a decade probably before yeah. we reach another peak. And over that decade, you can completely transform your life despite an economy ticking along, being flat, slowly recovering. We did it during a recession and a slow, long recovery. Lots of people didn't do anything because they thought, well, we're not in a booming economy. It's that slow, long work that allows opportunity, where many players leave the market, your competition yep. is gone, and it gives you the opportunity to say, I'm going to think long term and buy stuff that in the next decade is going to go up and create wealth for me and my family. And that's exactly what we did, and exactly yep. what you listeners can do if you really believe in yourself and you just understand the basics of economics, that, you know, even in a flat, you know, economy, even in inflation, you have real opportunity to create some real wealth over time.
Anna, you're amazing. Thank you for coming back each and every week. A playlist with 5 years of recordings. Where can people find you?
Great. You can find me on my playlist on social media, Anna Kelly, REI Mom. And for real estate coaching and consulting, you can find me at AnnaKellyInvesting.com.